Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right. Welcome back. And thank you for joining us. Got a great show planned for you today. The odd schedule continues. But as you guys know, it's still the most scintillating hour of finance radio. I've gotten some comments about that. I have to keep saying it now. Right, it's that self-aggrandizing catchphrase, and we just got to keep on keeping on. We got to stick with it. So, anyway, you'll have to forgive me. Still getting over that cold. Man, those kids. I'm telling you, they're gonna get you. It's my 4-year-old started preschool. I think I talked about this last week. Started preschool. And he's bringing home all kinds of bugs. Doesn't seem to be hitting the wife, but it's just getting me. So anyway, the odd schedule is going to continue. Now, this week, we're recording on a Thursday morning because we are taking the kids down to the Great Wolf Lodge, which my 4-year-old refers to as camouflage. He kind of tells you where his head's at, right? The Rocky, the soldiers, the, you know, all that kind of, the guns, loves it. Not real ones. But you guys know, you know what I mean. Anyway, going down to Great Wolf Lodge with the kids tonight and some friends. And so we couldn't do it tomorrow. So we got to do it today. So this is Thursday. We're going to miss the Friday action. But regardless, got a great show planned for you. A lot of great things to discuss. You know what? Actually, to be fair, little less has gone on this week. Been kind of a quiet week. I think everybody's kind of absorbing the election results. And gotta tell you, we've gotten a little bit of a downdraft. Markets have essentially gone sideways since election. I think they're a bit offsides. Over the longer term, we're at a really bizarre place in the market, guys. We're at a really bizarre place because, and here's why. You've got maxed out valuations. You've got interest rates going up. You've got debt that has hit unprecedented levels, which we talk about all the time. There's no surprise to anybody else out there. But the other thing that I don't think anybody's paying attention to is that the renaissance that we've seen in the last 2 years, this incredible updraft that we've seen in the last 2 years, is almost all politically driven, right? We've been maxed out on virtually all, if at the very least, most economic indicators now for the last 5 years. What blew things open was the tax cuts, whether you like them or not. Now, I know most people listening to this radio show like them. And look, they're not budget friendly, but they needed to happen. It's kind of the funny thing about the left, right? If we're racking up debt for social spending, that's fine. But God forbid you do it for tax cuts. The other thing that no matter what leftists you're talking to, they will never acknowledge the excess tax returns that come in due to tax cuts. For instance, do you know that the 5 years after, or the 4 years after, 4 to 4.5, 5 years after the Bush tax cuts, that tax receipts went up? Now, for most of us conservatives, we know that is because a smaller slice of a bigger pie equals more. Unfortunately, our snowflake friends on the left haven't seemed to figure that out. But anyway, I digress. See, you can't avoid it. You got to jump into politics every once in a while, and I can't help myself. But anyway, we had the impetus of the tax cuts driving this. That was a repricing. Stocks obviously responded like they always will. We had talk of infrastructure spending, and infrastructure spending we're going to get to later in the show. Little segment called Infrastructure or Else. But look, the way we got to look at this market and this economy is that we continue to need impetus. We've maxed out the debt. We've been running this economy via debt and debt acquisition for the last 40 years. We're tapped out. And so I think one of the things the market is really offsides on, and all they're focusing on is peak corporate earnings, and all they're focusing on is, oh, everything's so great. Look, everything is always so great before things get bad. That's just the way it is. Right? Think back to 2006. Everybody and their mother was making money hand over fist on real estate. In retrospect, we know that that was the height of a bubble. Now you fast forward to today, and you know we're arguably in the greatest financial bubble of all time. That being said, you've heard me say it on the show 100 times, and if you think that I'm talking on both sides of the fence, that's a fair point. I kind of am, because you've got this dichotomy diverging, right? The whole world is slowing down. It may not be terminal. We've gotten a lot of head fakes over the last 10 years, so we got to keep that in mind. But you've got the whole world slowing down, economic indicators across the board lagging, dropping, not looking great. And then here in the United States, we get a shakeup where the biggest driver over the last 2 years of markets, whether you like him or not, has been the policies of Donald Trump. And I'm sure you're well aware, we got a wrench in that, in those gears. We got a wrench in that clockwork that just got thrown in on election night. And I'm starting to do it. I'm trying to already jump ahead to the next segment that we're going to do called Infrastructure or Else. We don't want to get into that. So anyway, what we're seeing happen in the market is this sideways action, right? Market's down one day. Right now, it was down 200 points earlier in the day. It's up 260 because optimism on trade. You get these far in bull markets, this is what we expect, right? You have this knee-jerk reaction. Everybody is so used to everything going up. The funny thing is that they're saying that stocks are rising today because of trade optimism, and yet the stocks leading it are the NASDAQ, the tech stocks, which is hilarious. They're the stocks least impacted by trade wars and tariffs, right? And this is kind of the things that have got us nervous right now. The market was really oversold on a variety of different technicals going into the last couple of days. So the bounce, we've had hedges on and some shorts in the portfolio to kind of balance things out, and we pulled those about a week ago because of that scenario. But you're just seeing this knee-jerk reaction. You got to buy the dip. You got to get in there and buy the dip. You got to get in there and buy the dip. And the NASDAQ being up 1.7% today, I think, is hilarious. Still way off its highs. Tech stocks have been smacked. And I wouldn't be surprised if tech goes to make new highs. I just think that if they do, it's going to be short-lived. The valuations are ridiculous. The earnings expectations are ridiculous. We see signs of these companies starting to cannibalize each other, and margin pressure and all these other kind of things starting to creep up. But investor, look, all anybody still wants to own is tech. It's a buying opportunity. You get to buy Netflix at the dirt cheap price of 140 times earnings. What a joke. Good Lord. Anyway, the world has lost its mind. Want to get into other things. Gold. Look, if you listened to the episode last week, and if you didn't, I'd encourage you to go back to the iPod page, or our iTunes page, which can be found on Bulwark Capital. You can also find it on My Northwest. Darren, we have the podcast up on My Northwest, right? Yeah, My Northwest. You can get it several different ways. You can even just type in Know Your Risk Radio and several different podcasts pop up where you can listen to it. But had Brent Johnson on, the Chief Investment Officer of the Santiago Gold Fund. And we were talking about the merits of gold. And we've talked about this over and over. We think gold is going to have its day. It's going to be great. Right now, as a guy that's been invested, you know, directly or non-directly in around gold and gold investments for the better part of the last two decades, gold will have its day. We're just not there yet. And you've kind of seen this sideways action in gold. Right now, it's not looking too good to us. Oil's gotten hit, which is kind of a bizarre one. I had a client in the last meeting. I had a meeting before I came into the studio today, and he goes, "What's going on with what's going on with oil?" And you know, I didn't really have a good answer. We're still really trying to figure that out. I'm going to give you guys the honest answer. Oil's a little bit of a head scratcher. What we're seeing right now is Trump is really putting pressure on all major oil producers to keep up oil, you know, oil production, because he wants the prices of oil to drop. And one of the reasons he wants the price of oil to drop is that that typically correlates with a stronger dollar, and it's deflationary when oil drops, and that means that the Fed won't raise rates as aggressively. And I, you know, I think that's all he's off after. Now, all these people that are making it overblown, look, guys, this is the weird part about where we're at. We should want interest rate hikes and not want them at the exact same time, right? If we want what's good and healthy for the economy over the long run, we should want higher interest rates, because these lower interest rates, these 0% interest rates for the last 10 years have created an unbelievable amount of garbage and trash in our markets. An unbelievable amount. Because you cannot make the cost of money zero and not expect there to be malinvestment or bad allocation of capital. You know, and if you want evidence of that, go look at how many of these companies out there are trading, Netflix being one that we, you know, most famous, but there's tons of them that are out there with these unbelievable earnings rates, and everybody talks, or excuse me, these unbelievable earning multiples, and everybody justifies it by, gold. Well, look at how fast they're growing revenue. You look at them and go, what about profit? And they, oh, dude, Amazon. Look what Amazon did. It's a new paradigm. Those are two of the most dangerous words in investing. A new paradigm. There is no new paradigm. Amazon's a one-off. They're a retailer. It does not apply to barely any other sectors, especially a company like Netflix, who's going to be competing against Amazon, who's going to be keep competing against Apple, who's going to be competing against Disney, who's going to be competing against Fox. Revenue growth means nothing if there's no profit. It means nothing. Therefore, the valuations of these underlying stocks, these underlying assets, they're vapor. And hopefully this recent pullback in tech showed that to you. It can and will evaporate quickly. Like Buffett says, markets in the short term are a voting mechanism. In the long term, they're a weighing mechanism. Meaning just popularity. Popularity will drive it. Right? Just everybody, I got to own Amazon. It's gone up. I got to get my piece. Met with a client the other day. Great guy. Smart guy. And he was honest enough to say it. He bought a little bit. It didn't matter. He goes, but I'm a value guy, but I bought a little bit at Amazon just because I need to own it. Everybody's got it. And it was a little bit. It didn't matter, you know, but that's the attitude. We're not buying it because of cash flow. We're not buying it because of profitability. We're not buying it because it's great value. We're buying it because it's gone up. Okay, let's just do a recap of investing. We want to buy things that are going to go up, not things that have. Okay? And a great illustration of that right now is the real estate market, which, if you are paying attention, has stagnated. Now, look, I've said it on the show before, and I'll say it another 100 times. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you what markets are going to do next week. I can't tell you what house prices are going to look like 6 months from now. As a matter of fact, as it relates to both stock markets and housing, nothing would surprise me. But here's what I do know. Okay? We are at extreme historical ends of the valuation cycle or curve or whatever you want to call it. And these valuations will not be maintained. And the reason we know that is because there is not sufficient cash flow being produced. What I mean by that is a few months back, maybe six months, but I had a client of mine who's got a big real estate portfolio, wealthy guy, came to me and he was looking at an apartment complex down in the Olympia area. I want to say it had something like 200 units. Nice, new, relatively new, built in the last, 10 years. Good shape, almost full occupancy, all that kind of stuff. Price tag on it was $50 million. Okay. And he's like, I think this is going to go up and it's going to be worth this. And I said, okay, what does the cash flow look like? And I go, have you done a discounted cash flow model? He goes, no. And I said, okay, what does the cash flow look like? And I want to say it was $1.25 million, after his costs and things like that. And I said to him, okay, well, that means that your $50 million will be earning 2.5% interest per year. That's the way you can look at it. And he goes, yeah, it's not great. But he goes, I just think the price of this thing is going to go up a lot more. And I said, yeah, maybe it will. But I said, what kind of risk are you taking on? I go, could you lose 50%? Could the value of that $50 million go down to $25 million? And he goes, boy, that's a big drop. But I go, well, when was the last time it got sold? And he said, I think it was 2009, early 2010, something like that. Last purchase price was around $25, $26 million. And I go, okay, so it could go for that again, right? He goes, yeah, I don't think it will for these various reasons, all that. And I said, okay, but what we know is your cash flowing about $1.25 million. He goes, yes. And I said, okay, that equates to 2.5% of your principal, right? You're making a 2.5% return on your $50 million investment. And I said, do you realize that you could go buy a 30-year U.S. government treasury, which essentially faces no risk of default or no risk of loss? Let's make it even a 10-year U.S. treasury, and it'll pay you 3.1% a year. And I said, again, in the lens of risk management, does that make sense? Does it make sense to risk $50 million of capital to make a return that is lower than what is essentially or what is widely considered to be the risk-free rate of U.S. government treasuries? Right? And this is the idea, guys, that cash flow determines value, not over the short term. Everybody can get pumped up about Netflix and all these other companies. There isn't the cash flow there, and it's not coming. It's not in the business model. And other people go, well, Zach, I've been hearing you say this for a couple of years. Yeah, it can take a couple of years to play out. It can take 3 or 4 years to play out. But now we're not investing. Now we're gambling. Now we're guessing about timelines and all this other kind of stuff. And there will be periods of time that doing the rational, smart thing in investing will not yield you the best results. The last 10 years are a perfect example of that. But over the long run, it's a weighing machine. And over the long run, asset prices will reflect cash flow because nothing else matters. And over the long run, you will do significantly better avoiding the inevitable haircuts that come from owning too much of an overvalued asset, of owning too many overvalued assets, and by keeping a disciplined approach and managing your risk. And it's Know Your Risk Radio, people. This is the home of risk management. And it can be hard. It can be hard sitting back. We've said it before on the show, too. Hardest thing in investing is to sit back and watch your neighbor get rich. Problem is, 98% of the time, they don't stay rich. Because people do what rewards them. The more money they make on high-priced stocks, the more of them they want to own, the more of them they want to own, the more confident they get, and then boom. 6 months later, they're down 80%. And we've seen it happen too many times. So anyway, that's about it on the market update. As always, now, yeah, that's the other thing, guys, right? The interest rate story. We've been pounding on that. And if you're fair, we've been talking about overvalued market conditions for the last 2.5, 3 years. That's fair. Now, I think a lot of those scenarios have played out, right? We got a year where we're basically flat on the market this year. I think we're up 4 or 5%, maybe something like that. Tech has gotten hit. But it hasn't been disaster. We haven't been saying there's going to be disaster because we don't know. We just know that these valuations are stretched. One of the things that we've been talking about, though, is very much coming to the fore, which is rising interest rates and bonds. And it still shocks me. We've already ran over time, but I run over time. I want to tell a quick anecdotal story. Classic example of why bonds are toxic and you need to get them out of your portfolio. Sat down with a gentleman who I think he's becoming a client. I met with him a couple times and we haven't, he hasn't actually moved to us yet. He says he's going to. Hope he does. Great guy. He had his money managed by, I'm not going to say the name, but by another firm. Big major firm. I guess I could say the name. I believe it's Fidelity. And classic portfolio, right? It's about 50, right around 60% stocks, 40% bonds. Just the same scenario we talk about all the time. First and foremost, they were charging him 1.6%, which for the amount of money he had, I about fell out of my chair. And then not to mention that, that's the advisory fee, right? So that's what the advisor is charging. On top of that, he's all mutual funds. So he's got an average of 40 to 50 basis points of cost in each mutual fund. So the guy's paying an all-in cost of almost 2% a year. 40% of his portfolio is in bonds, which have been a net negative over the last 4 years. His returns are awful. Same story. He looks at me. He goes, Zach, why? I'm watching markets go up. You know, these are supposed to be the pros. What's going on here? Excuse me. It was Merrill Lynch. Wasn't Fidelity. It was Merrill Lynch. And again, you guys have heard my story. I'm not knocking Merrill Lynch. A lot of great people there. You know, they have great intentions. Fidelity the same way. Wells Fargo Advisors. These firms are, it's not the firm's fault. It's not the people's fault. They're not trying to fleece people. It's just their model's broken. And just look at the base argument they're going to make to you. Why do we own bonds? Because bonds go up when stocks go down. You go, well, not over the last 60 days. Because stocks are going down because interest rates are going up. And when interest rates go up, bonds lose value too. And then you can extrapolate it out further and say, look, not only has it not happened over the last 60 days, it hasn't really happened over the last 10 years. And it's just shocking to me that people are still using bonds to hedge out volatility in a portfolio and they're charging people a fee to do it. So if you want to know how to get bonds out of your portfolio and increase your security, guys, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Hopefully, when you call us and if we get a chance to talk, I'm not going to be as raspy as I am now. But either way, we're going to deliver the goods to you. And if you just listen to the show the first time, we don't have a complicated sales process. We're not twisting arms. We're just going to show you what we do. Give us a call, 15-minute phone consultation. Get the free booklet off the website. You can even email in if you don't want to call us. You don't feel comfortable doing that. That's fine. We can do a portfolio review over email. But I want to reemphasize the fact there's not going to be no twisting of arms. There's other people we've met with who've just taken the advice and implemented it on their own. That's fine. We're a firm believer. And this goes back to my college football days playing for Frosty Westering. We're a firm believer. Do the right things. The business side of it takes care of itself. That's why we don't have this, you know, spider web of a sales process where we're trying to draw people in and going to call them forever and just bombard them. We just lay out how we do it, what we do, show you the cost. Boom, there it is. You want to do it? Great. If you don't, that's fine. But the biggest thing that we got great, you know, great opportunities, great portfolios that are risk managed and safer and still get really good returns on the stock side of it. But the biggest source of outperformance is what we do with our bond alternative. We use a product that's guaranteed and insured against loss, grabs 50 to 60% of the upside of the stock market, and does so with no fee. So we go from paying a fee on an asset that's making us nothing, bonds, to averaging some, you know, yeah, I got to be careful talking about performance, but averaging in that neighborhood of 5 to 7% a year historically, you can do the math, pull out what 50 to 60% of the upside of the stock market is, but it's insured against loss. So we lower the risk of the portfolio, lower the cost of the portfolio, simultaneously increase upside returns. That's risk management. That's the model. So anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Get the booklet. Sign up for the newsletter. Sign up to the podcast, email in questions. It's a one-stop shop. Anyway, all right. Thank you for sticking with us. We got a lot of great content coming up next, a lot of great topics, and want to get into infrastructure or else in the next segment. Stick with us. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
I have to tell you, what a relief for my wife and me when we got signed up for long-term care coverage. The more I learned about the fact that nearly 3 out of 4 of us will need some form of long-term care in our retirement, there are so many issues at play. For some people, they can't afford it and they become a burden on their friends and family. For others, you do have money set aside, but it wipes out everything that you've saved. And maybe most importantly, it's about having a plan so that all your children have to do is carry out your wishes. It's not a burden on them. And that's why I love the advice we got from Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. We started by going to one of Brian's free classes, and that's what I recommend you do to find out about all the different plans they offer. And Brian has his last 2 classes of the year coming up, December 8th and the 14th. So make sure to reserve your spot today, as seating will be limited. Go to 525longtermcare.com. You'll get a free copy of Brian's book, too. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Call now and get our brand new version of Common Sense Investing. It's our complimentary booklet that shows you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, Zach, and I got to tell you, you have to read Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us. And if you're just joining us, welcome. You just missed the opening segment, which was basically just a 20-minute rant about a variety of different things. But we want to get into this next topic here, a little segment we call Infrastructure or Else. Okay, so... And the reason we're looking at this is as I said in the earlier segment, in the market update part of the show, was that the underlying economic picture, despite stock performance and despite investment performance over the last 2 years since Trump came into office, the underlying economic picture really hasn't changed much. What changed was the political climate, right? All of a sudden, we had a president that didn't have his foot on the neck of industry, that didn't think profits were bad, that understood the way capitalist and market-driven economies work, which is to cut regulation and cut taxes. Now, like, look, here's the reality. With all things, there's a sweet spot. So you can overdo tax cuts and regulations. And as I said on the previous, in the previous segment, that look, regardless of whether or not we like the tax cuts, they're stimulative. Okay? But regardless of how much we like that, they're not deficit friendly. Now, I don't think it's nearly as bad on the overall budget as most would claim, especially those in opposition of tax cuts. Because the increased economic activity and the increased profitability leads to a bigger pie, right? So it's sort of a give and take. The other aspect I'm into tax cuts is, or the other reason why I like the tax cut side of it is probably the other reason why I like a lot of you, or why a lot of you like it, is the government, just like a private balance sheet or just like we do in our own personal lives, should have to live on the allowance that it's given. Right? This idea that we jigger the economy and we put shackles on every individual to fund the government to the levels that we idealistically want to, you know, run that budget to, right? Or that spending to fund all these social things, it's backwards. When you're treating industry as a piggy bank that's supposed to fund whatever government wants to do, you no longer have a government that's for and of the people. You have people that are for and of the government, right? So on a very basis, that runs counter to the founding principles of this economy and, more importantly, this government, or this government was founded on, this nation was founded on. But there is a balance, right? There's certain things that we have to fund. And it's, and the answer is not, and this might anger some people, but the answer is not always tax cuts. Do we get enough service for the level of taxes we pay? No, it's government spending's bloated. I don't think anybody would argue that. It's been bloated for a long time. It's gotten worse. But we do receive value. For instance, I think it's wonderful that we have cops. I like the fact that we have roads. I like the fact that we've got a, you know, an army and a military that's, you know, standing guard. There, you know, there's absolute necessities, of course. And I'm willing to pay taxes for that. Well, you know, and again, I know I'm preaching to the converted here, but the illustration I want to make is that endless tax cuts are not the answer to anything, right? Now, having said that, the whole tax cut thing's sort of gone out the window. Unless Trump can really pull a rabbit out of his hat because he's lost the House. And based on what they're talking about and based on the rhetoric and the tone and the anti-Trump sentiment and all those other things, for us to expect this impetus or this wind that Trump has been at the back of the economy, to expect that to continue unfettered, I think is a bit naive. Right? It's not. So what is it that they can do? And like I said, we need to look at this through the lens of you've got maximum employment. You've got full employment. You have debt levels on consumer, corporate, and government balance sheets that have never been higher as a percentage of GDP. You've got margins, profit that companies are making at record highs that were previously seen as unattainable. Everything's maxed out. The economy itself cannot keep accelerating, other than through inflation. Okay, so they've got to have impetus. They've got to, Trump's got to be able to keep passing things that drive prices further and push the acceleration further. And the only card left, guys, when he doesn't have the House, now outside of executive orders, which I'm not going to get into because you can listen to Medved and you can listen to Rants and you can listen to Todd Herman, and that's what they you know, that's what they're focused on. This is finance with some politics mixed in, as our show. And also risk management, of course, right? But what's really important that we've got to pay attention to is what are those impetus? If we think things are going to keep running and Trump's still going to get, what can he do? And outside of executive order, which, you know, you can't do much, you can cut some regulation and do things like that, the only real card he's got left to play is infrastructure. And the reason why I feel confident that infrastructure is in play is due to the fact that since I've been a child, in the past 30 years, everybody, past 40 years, and maybe, yeah, you know, I'm sure it extends larger than that, but every person running for Democratic office has talked about the absolute necessity and the virtue of infrastructure spending and how out of date our infrastructure is. And the other key word that I love that they use is invest. Right, we got to make investments. I love that terminology. Investments, as it relates to government spending, kind of reminds me of the use of the term revenue as it applies to taxes. Right? It's not revenue, it's seizure. But anyway, I digress. So, infrastructure really is the only card they've got left to play on the economic front. Because I think it's the only one that liberals are going to vote for. And even then, it's going to be a tough sell. And we've talked about this on the show before, but the tariffs are a perfect example. Just like infrastructure, I've sat there and listened to liberal politicians for the last 30 to 40 years talk about the need for tariffs to defend the blue-collar working man, right? All of a sudden, Trump comes into office and says he's putting tariffs on China. Now, all of a sudden, we've got a bunch of free trade buffs. And it literally is as simple, and you guys know this. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But it's literally as simple as, well, we're against tariffs because Trump likes them. So we have yet to see what they're willing to do. But it really is infrastructure or else. Now, I think one of the key points to that, and one of the key issues that that points out, is we've got to look at what type of industry and what type of companies will get a meaningful head or tailwind from infrastructure spending. And what I can tell you is it's not going to be tech stocks. It's not going to be the stocks that have done really well over the past 8 or 9 years. It's actually going to be the stocks that have not done well over the last 8 or 9 years. It's going to be the infrastructure-focused stocks. It's going to be more your industrials, especially considering the tariffs on China. And even if they get rid of the tariffs, the only way Trump's getting rid of the tariffs is due to new trade practices, which are definitely going to cut down on subsidized metal and subsidized copper and subsidized steel and subsidized plywood, all the things and all the materials that you would use in an infrastructure spending program that we can buy from China. Any new deal he cuts, they're going to be on average 20 to 25% more expensive. And so we want to look at the material, but remember, the materials in the industrial side of the economy have not really participated much in this rally, have not really participated much in this economic expansion. And when we look across the board, they're the most undervalued stocks. Now, what that means to you is that you absolutely need to rebalance your portfolio. And this gets back into the tech discussion that we've been having for the past month. Whether you like to admit it or not, you are not positioned for that environment. First and foremost, you're not positioned for bad stock markets because the average mutual fund and the average ETF you have out there right now has the highest concentration of stocks or tech stocks in it since 1999 and 2000. Right? So you're not positioned for it. You could have a scenario where all these things happen. Infrastructure actually does do a good job. Infrastructure helps boost the economy and your portfolio could be stagnant or negative. Because the next leg of this is not going to be tech. It's just not. And I'm not saying it's done or that it's run its course or anything like that, but it just, the valuation side of it, right? We've seen the correction in tech stocks. And like we've said over and over and over again, you may think you're diversified, but when we pop the hood on that mutual fund account or that ETF account, just by definition, just the way that those funds are comprised and what the, you know, what they're made up of, you're loaded up on tech, whether you know it or not. And you've got to make sure that you've got a portfolio that's actually balanced. You've got to make sure that you've got a portfolio that has the exposure to these cheaper stocks, these industrial stocks that really are our best shot going forward. And we were talking about that last week with Brent Johnson. We were talking about this idea that that if the world is in a cooling down phase or if the world is in entering a recessionary global environment, which we're not saying it is, but it shows signs. I mean, the Chinese stock market is down 50% top to bottom in the last 18 months. People go, well, that's a buy. Well, you could do that with your money. And you guys know my thoughts on China, right? We've done whole hour-long specials on China, and it's just a house of horrors, and we just want to avoid. If you want a small sliver of it for diversification in the portfolio, may not be a bad idea. I think we got a little bit of exposure just in case, but you got a hedge. That's just a time bomb waiting for an excuse. So, but anyway, that's where the real balancing of a portfolio goes on. And when you go over a period of time like we have over the last 8 or 9 years, where you've got one sector so clearly outperforming, you're not diversified. You're concentrated, whether you know it or not. And we've talked about that at great length in the show before. We were talking about tech blowing up 3.5-4 months ago, and sure enough, it happened. But anyway, the biggest takeaway from that, from this segment I wanted you guys to take is, look, just keep your eyes on infrastructure, guys. It really is the only road forward. It really is. They're out of cards to play. And that doesn't mean there's an impending crash. It just means that all of the, like I said earlier, all these tailwinds have now turned into headwinds. And now you've got one third of the major body of government, which is the House, right? The executive branch, president, White House, the Senate, and the House. And the House ain't going to work with Trump on anything. And we all know that. Which was kind of one of the big disappointments that election. I sat there and went, geez, you people want to go back to the previous 8 years or the 8 years under Obama? Good luck. I just now, you know, boy, we could spend a week talking about that. So anyway, we got to get rolling again, and we're going to come back. Got some more great stuff to talk to you about. We're going to talk about the next segment, the final move. But before we get there, if you're wondering if you're overexposed to tech, if you're sitting there wondering why your portfolio isn't performing despite the run that the markets have had over the last 10 years now, holy smokes, well, nine. Yeah, 10. Actually, geez, crazy. And you're looking at these bonds, you're bleeding money, you're paying 1.6% a year for this portfolio performance, it's not there, which I see every day. And you're wondering what's going on. You're wondering if there's an alternative. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. And remember, unlike all these other advisory firms out there, first of all, we're going to do it for less. And I don't really like to push that because I think that we deliver a value and I don't want to win on cost. And just because I don't believe in that. But another ancillary is, you know, an ancillary benefit is the way that we do it is cheaper. And it's less exposed to risk. And it includes active management. And it includes somebody that is not incentivized as a fiduciary that does not make money off trades. We make money off the performance of your portfolio. Our fates are intertwined. They're interlinked. So if you want to know why your performance isn't good, what else is out there, how you know that you're with a financial advisor that's got your best interests at heart because the interests are aligned, meaning he doesn't make money off commission selling you things, he makes money based off your performance. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website at knowyourriskradio.com. You can access our podcast page. You can sign up for our free newsletter. And none of these things will get you being called by random people. We don't sell lists. We don't sell your information. Ain't going to happen. Dory Monson wouldn't be a client of ours and endorse the firm if that was the case. And trust me, he did his homework. But anyway, stick with us. Got some more stuff coming up, and we'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with my financial advisor, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. I know they're normally used for safety, but how risky are bonds right now?
If a significant portion of your retirement portfolio is in cash or bonds, that just doesn't work in this low interest rate environment on the verge of inflation. You need a bond replacement strategy.
And Zach, what I love about you guys is your focus on risk management.
Well, Dory, we're a fiduciary and a holistic retirement planning firm. Our goals are simple. Get our clients the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
I gotta tell you, you have to read it. Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn that bond replacement strategy, learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thanks for sticking with us. And before we move on to the next segment, and again, I want to emphasize, thank you guys for hanging with me. Still getting over this cold, little raspy, and a little bit scattered. I hope that's not coming through. I hope you sit there and go, man, Zach, I don't really notice a difference. But maybe you do. So anyway, I appreciate your patience. It's the kids, man. Well, I blame everything on the kids. it's a right of a parent, right? Anyway, before we get on, I want to talk about the final move, growth to quality. Want to talk about, look, I understand that when you're listening to me, I'm a guy on the radio, a voice in the speakers, right? So one of the things we like to do is, you know, and this is part of our investment process, is that one of the things we do for research is we're constantly reading, constantly listening to what other money managers who we respect that have got good track records are doing. We also look at their, what we call their 13Fs, or their reports based on what their holdings are. And that's something I'll always do. And I think it's an important input to always have a, you know, a mentor mentee. So like a mentee mindset, meaning you're always willing to learn. You're always willing to challenge your own thoughts and your own preconceived notions. And I think that's especially true in investing because you should always be learning. No one's got it all figured out. It's impossible. And as I'm getting ready to do this segment, I realize in my notes that I've got Paul Tudor Jones written down. I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't talk about that. So we talk about debt a lot. And for those just joining us, one of the reasons that we talk so much, and this is an investment show, right? We are a registered investment advisor. We manage people's money. Our format's a little bit different. It's not an infomercial. It's not scripted. Some people are probably sitting there going, for God's sakes, I wish it was scripted. So I'd have to listen to this guy drone on and on. But one of the reasons we do that is because what we're trying to do is convey the way that we see the world and convey our style, convey our philosophy. And it's worked phenomenally because the clients that call us, we see the world in a similar way. They've got similar concerns. They've got similar values. And when we're talking about it being a partnership with our clients, we mean it. Most of our clients have been with us a long time. We have very little client turnover. And part of that is the client selection process, what we refer to as the client selection process. We're not taking, you know, our ideal client is not anybody that can fog a mirror. Right, we got to see an alignment. If this is a 15, 20, 25 year relationship, we want to make sure that we see things on a similar basis. Doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. But our values should at least be aligned. The philosophy should be similar. And so when we're talking and getting into the heart of it, when we're talking about debt and interest rates, you might sit there and say, why aren't we talking about stocks? Debt and interest rates, as I've said many times, is it's the foundational part of any financial system. So if you want to know what's going to happen in stocks, the first place you should look at is interest rates and debt, right? That's what makes it go. Now, you see the effects of it usually work their way out in the stock market. But had we been watching rates, and this is a perfect example, had we been watching rates and had we been watching debt levels, we would have seen a 2008, 2009 coming. And as a matter of fact, we did. We did not know that Lehman Brothers or Bear Stearns, I didn't understand how toxic the environment was. I was just looking at rising rates, default rates climbing, the excesses that were clearly visible in the real estate market. And we just sat there and went, you know, in late 2007, just said, look, this, we could be wrong. We're not trying to time markets. This is a capital preservation move that we're going to make. And we're going to step aside here and play it ultra conservative for the next 6 months to a year and just see the way things shake out. Well, that ended up being a really good call. But the way we saw that was by looking at interest rates and debt. Interest rates were going up. Debt defaults were starting to climb. Purchases on home. We all know the story, right? But we saw it by focusing on interest rates and debt. And one of the things I like to bring up is some of the guys that we pay attention to try to illustrate to you that we're not just creating this philosophy. This isn't just some nut job on the radio you know, trying to sell investments or something. So Paul Tudor Jones is a guy that we followed for a really long time. Incredible investor, not nearly well known as some of the other greats that we've talked about on the show, but he's a guy that called the 87 Black Monday crash and profited off it. He did very well during the real estate crisis. He's had incredible macroeconomic calls. And he was interviewed by CNBC recently, and he said, we're in a global debt bubble. And global debt to GDP, this is a quote, global debt to GDP is an all-time high. And that most likely this is going to create some very scary moments, specifically in the corporate debt markets. Now, remember, the reason why that's so key is you go, well, let's avoid corporate debt. Remember, it's a foundation. If corporate debt markets dry up, which liquidity has dropped drastically in corporate debt markets over the last couple of years, all right? Mainly because interest rates are rising and people don't want to own an asset that's going to lose money in a rising interest rate environment, which gets us back to our toxic bond conversation and the fact that if you're still using bonds as the safeguard in your portfolio, you need to get out of them. They are a no-win proposition. When we talk about risk management, it's horrible. Your upside is less than the inflation rate. Your downside is probably between 30 to 40%. Right? So it's like saying, hey, I'm going to make you a deal. What would you rather like, to be kicked in the face or punched in the gut? Right? Neither. Well, that's kind of what investing in bonds is like. And if your advisor is telling you any different, guys, get a second opinion. It's just math. It's not my opinion. It's just math. And you go, well, tell me about stocks. Well, look, your stocks could be performing amazingly like they did last year. In 2017, but if 40% of your assets are losing 2.5% a year plus an advisory fee, it doesn't matter. The easiest way to improve the performance of that portfolio is to get that asset that's constantly bleeding you, where you're dying a death of 1,000 cuts, and get some productivity out of that without increasing your risk, without pushing that money into the most expensive stock market in U.S. history. And it's just amazing to me that we're sitting here talking about this ad nauseum, and forgive me if you've heard it before, about debt being the issue, and debt was what we need to focus on, and rising interest rates are going to be a problem. Look at the housing market. Look at real estate markets since rates started to rise. They've already started to tip over. And it's not just here. It's in Manhattan. It's in California. It's here. Why? Because it matters. Everybody is leveraged to the gills right now. You start jumping up borrowing costs and you got a problem on your hands. And like I said, it's not just me. Paul Tudor Jones now sitting in there saying, look, debt's going to be a problem. Here's a direct quote. He says, I think this time it's going to be corporate credit. And I think the breakdowns are something that we have to pay attention to in the last day or two. And they're really scary, because one thing about this credit bubble is we've had liquidity absolutely dry up in so many markets around the world. And he goes on, there'll probably be some really scary moments with corporate credit. And then, like I was saying earlier, then you say, okay, well, we'll avoid corporate credit. Not so fast. Remember, the number one buyer of stocks over the last 10 years in this stock market is corporate buybacks. And those have been disproportionately funded through debt, corporate credit. So if these companies can't keep issuing corporate debt at ridiculously low interest rates and taking that money and dumping it in the market and buying back their own shares, the Ponzi scheme just had a major interruption. And we refer to these as dislocations, meaning where you got these gaps, where you've got these relationships that are splitting apart, and we can see them, but asset prices aren't really responding to them yet. They will. They will. Especially in overvalued, overleveraged companies. And this is why, you know, for right or wrong, guys, I know it's going to turn some people off. And you know what? Honestly, I bring some of this stuff up on purpose because I know we're going to turn some people off. And that's fine. We're not for everybody. I get it. But what it is going to do is it's going to align us with the people that we are more likely aligned with. It's also going to inform people and help people, hopefully. But all that stuff that I'm talking about is why you need a portion of your portfolio that's actively managed. You can't just, because of these, and we've talked about this in the last segment too, because of this long extended run we've had in equity markets, your mutual funds and ETFs aren't nearly as well diversified as you think. So what should you have? Again, diversification. You should probably have kind of that passive account, that with that whole mutual fund, you know, generic exposure type approach, because we don't know, regardless of what I think, nobody knows what's going to happen, right? That's the humility side of it, that we've got to be honest. I don't have a crystal ball. Nobody does. But another portion of that portfolio needs to be geared toward value, 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 and clean balance sheets. And no one's talking about it. Nobody has for a while, but it's coming. The bill is coming due. And I actually think, because like I said, of the infrastructure scenario, I think you could see a scenario where the indexes stay pretty close to level flat, where you got the industrial stocks running and tech continuing to crater and those high value, ridiculously valued companies continuing to crater. So you could have people out there, pardon me, you could have people out there that have what they think is a good diversified portfolio that offers them serious protection, that are slowly bleeding assets, or maybe not that slowly, 5-7% a year. And then you got other people over here in value stocks that are making 5-12% a year. I think a bifurcation like that, where markets are slightly negative or hanging in there, is very likely. It's certainly a possible outcome. And what should your portfolio be built on? This is the other thing I'm talking about. All you out there with stock and bond portfolios, that portfolio is designed around one thing. That portfolio is designed around a declining interest rate environment. It doesn't work anymore. And you don't have to take my word for it. Like I've said before, the proof's in the pudding. What do you really need? You need a risk managed portfolio that's going to work or hold up in any environment. That's why I hate it when I hear people say, you know, the advisors tell the clients, look, 83% of the time, you're going to hit your retirement goals. Well, it's retirement. I've got one of them. My success rate needs to be 100%. 83 doesn't get it done. Plus, we've seen a lot of 83 to 85 to even 90% success ratios. Because remember, those success ratios are all based on past performance, historical averages. It's like driving in the rearview mirror. Well, is our current environment today, politically, economically, fiscally, monetarily, is it anything like anything we've experienced in the past? Absolutely not. Other people shout back and go, hey, Zach, we had more debt. We had the same level of debt, or close to, or slightly more debt after World War II. Yeah, well, we were on the gold standard. It's not even comparable. It's just not. You know, which gets into what Dory Monson talks about all the time. Are you retirement hoping, or are you retirement planning? Your retirement plan has to have 100% chance of success. And it's possible. We do it every day. It doesn't mean there won't be volatility along the way, but we need to volatility manage the portfolio. So we build a portfolio that doesn't have more volatility than you can stand, or that's outside your plan. And if you're not having these conversations, if your stocks and bonds, and your stocks are just mutual funds and bond funds, give us a call, guys. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You got to do it differently. And like I always tell clients, look, the proof's in the pudding. We'll just show you how it's performed over the last 10 years, and I guarantee it's going to blow you away. And it's going to be cheaper. And it's going to be less expensive. It's a no-brainer. A little bit outside the box. It's not the same portfolio composition you're used to. You're not going to have seen a similar example anywhere else, but it's there and it's possible. So give us a call. Remember, if you don't feel like talking to anybody on the phone, you can also shoot us an email. And if you don't want to meet in person, we can do a phone consultation over the phone, just explain to you what we do differently and how it's performed and how it differs from what you currently own. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, sign up for the free newsletter, request a copy of our free booklet, or just go hang out on the website, right? Anyway, and we got a great video of Dory up there on the radio section of the website too, which I just saw the other day, which was pretty cool. So anyway, you guys, we got to get rolling. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great weekend. I'm heading down to Great Wolf Lodge, or Camouflage, as my 4-year-old calls it. Wish me luck. And we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much. And we'll see you in a week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.